You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
This is the Bible. This is what we call the good book. It's our holy book. We have treasured family Bibles. We give them to children on special occasions. Clearly, the Bible is important. And the Bible is all around us. The average household has three of them. The Bible remains the best-selling book of all time, and the Bible is easily available on the internet. And yet, for all the value that we place on the Bible, and for the ease of access of the Bible, we don't need it very much. There was a study done by Barna Research not too long ago that said 33% of Americans read the Bible at least once a week, which is great, but 40% of Americans read it less than once a year. And various surveys over the years have shown our biblical illiteracy, with sizable numbers of people who cannot name the first book of the Bible. It's Genesis. Sizable numbers of people who don't know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus, not Billy Graham, as a lot of people apparently think. And a sizable number of people who cannot name the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in our society, we talk about the value of the Ten Commandments, and yet only 60% of the population can name at least half of them. And then according to one infamous survey done several years ago, something like 12% of Christians think that Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. So collectively, we're not doing a great job with the Bible. And yet survey after survey tells us that people who read the Bible regularly are not only more deeply connected to God and more authentic with their living of the Christian faith, but they are happier and more focused and more peaceful. I read the Bible almost every day, and I find the discipline of reading God's word helps keep me connected to God and challenges me to live an authentic Christian life and gives me focus and peace. So in the month of June and July, I want to invite you to join me in doing some intentional and deliberate Bible study together, with the hope that God will teach us and renew us and help us live a more authentic faith. Just to clarify, as we journey into this intentional Bible reading time, we as Presbyterians, we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. We study it, looking at history and culture and translations and more, and we try to discern God's will through Scripture. Some Christians have a more literalist or, an unerrant view of Scripture, but Presbyterians don't. But it's still God's word for us, God speaking to us through the words of people. So we wrestle with it and we let it guide us. In other words, we don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God who we know through reading and studying the Bible. Our new series is aimed at helping us to know God and know God's ways in eight little books in the Bible. The series is called Little Books with Big Impact. As you may know, there are 66 books in the entire Bible, in the Protestant Bible, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. Some books are more historical, some books are more poetic, some are letters, some are prophetic, some are wisdom literature, sort of like philosophy. Four of the books, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, focus on the life of Jesus, and many of the books have multiple genres in them. Books like Genesis, Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Romans, Revelation, those are relatively well known. But there are many books in the Bible, most of them are fairly small, that we almost never read. And they're filled with wonderful teachings and inspiration for us as God's people. So over the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at eight different of these little books with the hope that we'll grow closer to God and stronger in faith. And just like the surveys suggest, be happier, more focused, and more at peace. We're going to focus on four from the Old Testament, Esther, Jonah, Micah, and Habakkuk, and four from the New Testament, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 John, and James. Not only will we have sermons on these books, but we're having Sunday morning classes as well at 10:30 via Zoom. Check the church website or your church email for that information. We have email devotionals. You can contact the church office if you'd like to get one. And our weekly connections email has background information available on each little book. As we embark on this 8-week series, I know our levels of engagement will vary. Some of you are going to dig into all eight of the books and read them cover to cover, so to speak, and do some Bible study on them and really do some serious Bible study and learn and grow. Some of you will read a little bit from each of the eight books and look for some key verses. Some of you will find it helpful to pick one or two or maybe three of the books and do a deep dive into those books, reading them over and over during the course of the 8 weeks. Some of you will memorize scripture passages and write them on your wall or use post-it pads and really take the words to heart. Some of you are going to realize that you really haven't been reading your Bible much lately, if ever, and you're going to find your Bible. Or maybe you're going to buy a new Bible because the Bible you have is a translation that you can't understand. And you're going to take that Bible that you have and put it in a prominent location in your house and make the effort to read it on a regular, if not daily, basis. Some of you are going to read the Bible together with your family, maybe read it to your children, or maybe read it to your grandchildren, or maybe even do it over Zoom technology or over the phone with one another. Some of you are going to read with church friends and small groups, and maybe have partners and hold one another lovingly accountable and challenge one another to read together. And some of you are going to add websites to your shortcuts on your computers, and some of you are going to add Bible apps to your phone so you can more easily read the Bible on the screens on your devices. And you can do that before you get on Facebook or start reading the news or start checking the stock market. Whatever you do, I pray that we all will grow closer to God over these 8 weeks as we read and wrestle with God's word together. The first book we're looking at is the book of James. You probably thought I wasn't going to get there, but I am. Quickly, about James, it's a little letter toward the end of the Bible. Unlike most of the New Testament letters, James is sort of a general letter, not written to a specific person or specific community. And it reads more like a collection of proverbs or wisdom sayings. It's got 108 verses, so it'll probably take you something like 10 to 20 minutes to read it, depending on your reading speed. But here's a little secret. Chapter 1 of James, more or less, has a summary of the entire book. So if you only have a few minutes, just read chapter 1 of James, and you'll get a pretty good sense of the whole book. While Jesus is mentioned only twice in sort of a ceremonial way or an introductory way, the teachings reflected in James actually reflect the teachings of Jesus very closely. Some of those teachings that we see in James that we've heard from Jesus involve things like loving our neighbors and not showing partiality, being humble and living with integrity, choosing our words carefully. James uses the phrase taming the tongue, and then seeking justice for the poor and listening to warnings for the rich. You'll see these themes woven through the five chapters and 108 verses of James. And perhaps best of all, James is known for its call to action, reminding us that faith or just words are not enough by themselves. In chapter 2, we read, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is pretty much what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, when he said that people who put his words in practice are like those who are building a house on a strong foundation. James puts this same idea a little bit differently in chapter 1, encouraging God's people to be doers of the word, to build on a good foundation, to put the words into practice. And he includes an action-oriented definition of true religion. James writes, be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed by their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. What a great way to start our series on reading the Bible. Not only are we called to read God's word and hear God's word, but we have to put it in action, make it real. We have to make it part of our daily living. So our Bible reading, our Bible study, it's meant to shape our choices, our actions, the things that we do every single day. And this is exactly what we talk about here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. Learning God's love, living God's love. Learning God's word, living God's word. That's what we're all about. We study God's word and then we live it. We do it. We make it real. We can't simply stand up with a Bible and think that that's enough. Serious Christians know that we need to read the text and wrestle with the text and let the text wrestle with us. That God wants to change us and motivate us and guide us. As we read the text, we see God's relentless concern for the poor and the outcast, for the widows and the orphans, for the people whose voices have long been silenced, for the people who feel like their lives don't matter. We're in the midst of very challenging times in our world right now as we face yet again the reality of racism and white supremacy, as we continue to battle the coronavirus, as we face catastrophic environmental problems. We need to wrestle with these issues as God's people, as citizens of our country, as citizens of the world. And we need, as Christians, to read God's word in light of these issues. We need to pray for wisdom about what the words mean, and then we need to pray for courage and strength to act on what we've learned, to put God's words into practice, to actually do something as followers of Jesus, who was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, living out God's word. There are no easy answers for us. A foundation in God's word is a good place to start, but that's just a foundation. For if we are not committed to putting God's word in action, if we're not committed to being challenged and changed by God's word, if we're not committed to being doers of the word, then we probably shouldn't even read the Bible in the first place. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that you've made it so easy for us to read and study and grow in your word and in your love. Free us from distraction and temptation and indifference so that we actually can read and ponder and then act on your word this very day, this week, this month, on our whole journey through our life. In Jesus' name, amen.